Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the Ottawa Senators coming up at 7 o'clock. Pre-game at 6 right here on 102.5 The Game. And to help us talk Predators and NHL, we go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, who joins us every week and is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Good, Adam. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking. So, a big night here for the Predators. Roman Josi expected to play in game number 1,000. We've all had the opportunity to watch his career up close and personal. I'm curious for your opinion. How would you contextualize Roman Josi's career today?
Well, first of all, every time I see Roman Josi, good-looking, dressed perfectly, I feel like less of a man. That is the first thing.
You're not alone in feeling that way.
You know, like, the thing I like about Josi is I always remember just the first thing you noticed before you saw the talent is just what a beautiful skater he is. That, you know, there are some guys, like, the guy I always used to love watching when I was at a game was Scott Niedermeyer, who's the Hall of Fame defenseman from the New Jersey Devils and one of the greatest winners in the history of the sport. He won a Stanley Cup. He won an Olympic gold medal. He won a Memorial Cup Canada Junior. He won, he just won everything. He won everything there was to win. And I would see Scott Niedermeyer skate up ice and the puck would go the other way and he'd beat almost everybody back to go back and get the puck. He was back in position. And that's what I always felt like when I was watching with Josi. Like, his skating looked so effortless. He was such a beautiful skater. And you always believe if somebody can skate like that, they've got a chance. And then you realized, you know, what a great offensive player he was. You realized how skilled he was. And I think the other thing you noticed is that their coaches, you were very lucky in the sense that the guys you had coaching in Nashville, they recognized that Josi deserved a different leash and some different rules than anyone else. Like, every team has to have structure and every team has to have things that they do well that are non-negotiable. But there was always a sense that, hey, if Roman wanted to do this, he can do that. Not everybody can do that, but he can because he was such a great skater. And I love watching him skate. I love watching the way he plays. But mostly, again, I think of what a lesser man I am in his presence.
We've all been there. So, of course, Elliot, a lot of Predators fans are wondering when Roman Josi's career comes to an end, if he has a worthwhile case to enter the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's won the Norris Trophy. He's been a finalist two other times. He leads the Predators all time in points. He's going to become tonight, I think, the 84th player in NHL history to play 1,000 games with a single franchise. So when you look at his career resume, do you think it's Hall of Fame worthy?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, it's not over yet, Adam. Right? He's got a Norris Trophy. He's got a trip to the finals. Like, I think that unfortunately the last couple of years it's been slowed by a couple of injuries, but I think that if he is able to finish strong, absolutely he's going to be in the conversation. Shea Weber never won a Norris, and it didn't prevent him from going in. And so I look at it as, in a lot of ways, because the media doesn't vote for the Hall of Fame in hockey. You take a look, we're going through the baseball voting. It was just announced last week. There's a lot of media perception there. But the Hockey Hall of Fame is 18 people. They don't release their voting, and they look at the impact of the player to them. And so, like I think if you get the right mix of people, like, first of all, I think as the Predators get better, his case will increase again. But I think if he finishes up strong, I don't see why that committee of people wouldn't look at a guy like Roman Josi and say he can be in the Hall of Fame. There's no reason, or he can't be in the Hall of Fame. There's no reason to me that he would be excluded.
Elliot, the opponent tonight, the Ottawa Senators, they're coming off of a win in Columbus two nights ago, but the Senators have been in a bit of a firestorm lately, having to deal with a salacious rumor about the team, and it did appear that it took something out of them. How do you feel like the team has responded as they head to Nashville tonight?
I think that they had a big win the other night. You know, Columbus had done really well ever since they changed head coaches. They'd won a few games in a row, and Ottawa stopped that. I think the big thing that's a bit of a surprise to me, Adam, is that they went out and they signed James Reimer, who had played two games this year. He didn't play the first half of the season. He went to an international tournament over Christmas that's played in Switzerland called the Spengler Cup, and he played two games for Canada. And they were so desperate, Ottawa, for goaltending that they brought him in. And he played one game in the American Hockey League in Belleville, Ontario. And I know somebody who was at that game, and they said, boy, I like Reimer, but he's rusty. He's not ready for this yet. But Ottawa was desperate. They needed a save. Like, we had a stat in our broadcast last Saturday, Ottawa, Adam, that Ottawa had the worst save percentage in the NHL in the last 30 years.
Wow.
30 years. And so they put him in, and I give him credit. He's battled, and he's won a couple games in a row, and he's giving them a chance. Like, you know, Adam, I know you're a big underlying numbers guy. I see the way you work with the numbers. Ottawa's underlying numbers are actually pretty good.
Yes,
like,
defensively.
That's a good team, but they cannot stop a puck. And I think that they had a chance to really go off the rails between that rumor, which, you know, they kind of keep bringing up, which I watched the interview with Allmark this week, and Claire Hanna did a phenomenal job, and I could tell that if Allmark wanted to do it, they weren't going to be able to stop it. But on another hand, you're like, okay, don't keep letting this breathe. But I thought the other night was kind of the first night they kind of moved on and put it behind them. And now we'll see if they can do a bit better tonight.
Talk with Elliot Freeman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, Elliot, what are you seeing different from this team? Because this team was hot in the month of December, cooled off just a tad bit here in the month of January. But are you seeing anything different from those 2 months? And if you are, is it sustainable moving forward?
You're talking about the Predators here,
yeah,
there?
Yeah, Predators. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, like, the one thing is, and kind of we just talked about it with Ottawa, Saros has been unbelievable. Like, he's been really good. I think that when you have that, you're always in a better spot. So there's a guy who used to coach the Flyers, the Canucks, and the Rangers, Derek. His name is Alain Vigneault, and he's from Quebec, so he's a bit Frenchy. So he used to have a line that he would say, if my goaler is better than your goaler, I win. If your goaler is better than my goaler, you win.
Simple.
That was his line. That's how he would explain hockey. And so Saros being as good as he's been, that's made a huge difference. Obviously, I think Evangelista is one guy that people have told me has been a lot better. Stamkos has obviously been a lot better. I think even Josi, I would say, unless you guys disagree with me, I think he's really come too. I thought he was maybe a bit rusty at the beginning of the year or when he came back. And I think your best players have been better. O'Reilly's been consistent. And I think I talked about this with you guys before. I think the one thing that really stood out is that you guys didn't fall apart as a team. You pulled together. And it's a close room, and I've seen situations when things go sideways where the team falls apart. And I think your players deserve a lot of credit because they didn't allow your season to fall apart. And we've talked about the changes that Stamkos has made. I just think a lot of guys have been a lot better since the beginning of the year, which is ultimately what makes you win. Now, Derek, this is a really streaky league. I can't believe how streaky a lot of these teams are. You guys had the hot stretch. You got the bad loss in Vegas. I get that. That was the night after Colorado. There's a lot of teams that have done sort of that Colorado, Utah, Vegas back-to-back, and they've been smoked in the second half of that game. So that doesn't bother me, but you come home, you lose the other night. You got to stop it. You can't let a two-game or three-game losing streak become five, but this has become a really streaky league.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, the podcast, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, I've got one more historical question on Josi for you, and I want to take you back to the 2017 finals when the Predators made it, and they had their top four defensemen, P.K. Subban, Matthias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, Roman Josi. So when I look back at Josi's career, I look at him as one of a group of an elite quartet or whatever you want to call it for a long time, first Weber and then Subban. And then when all those guys were suddenly gone, he's still been able to sort of carry the torch. But back in 2017, like when you looked at the Predators roster, where was Roman Josi in the pecking order on that team in particular? Because I look at him as part of the group then, but now you could almost make the argument he's on track to maybe being the greatest player in franchise history.
You know, I know Weber was gone by then. I'm a Shea Weber geek. I am. I don't deny it. I always had a great admiration. I just remember, players like the Blackhawks, who used to torment you guys until you guys finally pounded them in that one playoff series. You know, people would tell, the Blackhawks would tell me that when Weber put his leg over the bench, like he was about to come on, the game changed. He wasn't even on the ice yet, but everybody was looking for that second leg to come over the bench. So I admit to being a bit of a Weber geek.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that's where the franchise was, right? Like with Rene and Weber, and on the heels of Suter at Weber, right? Josi was thrown in there with Weber, and so he was not, he didn't have the hype that any of those guys had, right?
Yeah, he didn't. He absolutely didn't. But the thing is that, PK was a great player who brought a lot of energy. He just wasn't obviously there for a long time. Ellis got hurt. The thing about Josi I think is incredible is he's the first, I believe, to do 1,000 games as a Predator, right?
Correct.
1 to 1,000. That matters. You know, Willie, that matters to me. I remember years ago, Ottawa had a couple of number retirements. One was Chris Phillips and one was Chris Neal. And people were like, "You're retiring the numbers for those guys?" And I was like, "Be quiet. You don't get it. A market decides who matters to them." And Chris Phillips was a guy, a lot of players were leaving Ottawa. He stayed. Chris Neal did a lot of fighting for Ottawa and was great in the community. I think this is your first. It's your first to go from 1 to 1,000 in your uniform. He's great in the community. I think the guys who stay and never leave, you can say, hey, Weber got traded, wasn't his fault. You can take whatever argument you want. I just think there's always a romance between the guys who start and end and play that long there.
Totally agree on that. Let's get your thoughts on a current event here because it's tied in. Kiefer Sherwood, of course, sort of resurrected his career as a Predator. They made the decision to walk away. He signs a deal in Vancouver. He does even better, and now he's been traded to the Sharks. What did you think of the return that the Sharks paid Vancouver for Kiefer Sherwood, and what's next for him?
Yeah, so I think it's a pretty normal return for a rental. It'll be interesting if he re-signed. The Sharks knew the price going in. I think Sherwood's looking for something around 5x5. Just before they traded him, the Canucks offered 5x4, and it was a no. So I think that's kind of what he's looking at. We'll see, but as a rental, the Canucks were looking for a first rounder for him. They weren't getting San Jose's first rounder. That was too high. They were hoping for a late first rounder. They got 2 seconds. I think that's pretty reasonable. It's an interesting bet, Willie, because, you know, depending on if San Jose falters, which I'm not convinced they're going to, but if San Jose falters, that second rounder could be pretty close to a first rounder. So there's not a huge difference. So they'll take the gamble with two of them. You know, we'll see. Like, Sherwood's going to be in a great spot. He's going to be playing with Macklin Celebrini. Like, I would like to say I would score 20 goals with Macklin Celebrini, but I'm not sure he's even that good. But Sherwood, a talented guy, is going to do really well with him. And it was a great spot for him. They wanted him. They really liked him. I'm just not sure what the extension is going to look like or when we get there.
It just shows what an interesting career path somebody can have. Like, Sherwood was a minor league pickup by the Predators. He had some ups and downs for 2 years. Even the year he broke out 2 years ago, he was a healthy scratch for, I don't know, close to a quarter of the season. And then here he is, you're talking about five times five. That's a great success story for a guy who stayed
well,
after.
And you know
like
what? I like to see people do well, Willie, so I hope he gets it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great guy, too.
Elliot,
yeah,
a couple
really nice guy.
And a couple more for you. Last season, when we asked you about Jonathan Marchessault and if he could be traded by the Predators, you mentioned to us that his preference would be to go to another team in a no-tax state. Do you believe that remains his preference?
I haven't looked into it, so I don't want to. I haven't looked into it. The last time I asked, that's what I heard. I can't say that that's changed, but I'll be honest with you, Adam. I haven't asked.
Fair enough. The other question, the last one I have for you, you saw how Mitch Marner was received by visiting Maple Leafs fans last week in Vegas. So what are you expecting tomorrow when Marner and the Golden Knights visit Toronto?
Well, I actually just wrote a piece today about, I spent like about the last week or so just calling around to everyone I could think of about kind of how it went from, like, when Marner was drafted, like, he was so happy to be a Leaf, and he was a huge success story. Like, the guy who ran the Leafs draft at the time was a guy by the name of Mark Hunter. And people were saying, don't take him. Like, there were two defensemen that were available. One was Noah Hanifin, and one was Ivan Provorov. Werenski was, too, but they weren't as big on him. And people wanted them to take the D. And he was like, no. He says, as far as I can tell in my contract, I have this choice. And he's like, they're like, you're right, you do. And he goes, we're taking Marner. And Mark Hunter was right about that. It was like people didn't want him to do it. He did it. You know, unfortunately, it just didn't work out. And I think part of the reason was that Marner was so sensitive. And he just, like, some people just are. And he was unfortunately surrounded by some people who, like, just couldn't let go of any perceived slight. I think it's a shame. Like, honestly, it's Vegas's win, but he should have gone down as the greatest Toronto-born Leaf of all time. Like, someday Nashville's going to develop a kid who's going to be an all-time great Predator, and it's going to be a huge success for the organization and the region, and everybody in the area is going to love that kid. Marner should have been that guy in Toronto, and I think everybody deep down regrets it. I don't think everyone admits it. But I think it finally got to a point, like at the end last year when they got knocked out, a really ugly second-round loss to Florida. They could and should have beaten them. And they got destroyed in Game 5 at home. They got destroyed in Game 7 at home. And someone posted his address online. And, you know, Marner's wife was pregnant. They were going to have – actually, I think they just had the kid by then, or right around then. And I think that was it. And, you know, I think it's really a shame. I don't think it's going to be a great environment tomorrow night, I'll be honest. but to me, I see it as more of a shame. He should have gone down as the greatest Toronto-born Leaf ever.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, has been our guest on D-Maze. Vingan and Donicky joins us every Thursday during hockey season and is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Take good care.
615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to Elliot Freeman and the Predators, who are in action tonight against the Ottawa Senators. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. But coming up next, we played some clips yesterday of Jeffrey Simmons' interview with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton on Bussin' with the Boys. Derek has a couple more thoughts on what Simmons had to say, and we will get to those coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025. The game.
Where, like, the way Khaled wanted to lead and the way he was leading, it wasn't so much of, like, I'm finna be hard on your ass. Like this is, like, for real. Like, you know, the hard truth sometimes, I think. Right. And I think we was kind of
trying to build on good moments and, hey, you see.
Yeah, it's like, no, hell no. I mean, and I remember, and me and I'm sure McCord don't mind me sharing this. Like, you know, it was one game, we ended up losing the game, and I was pissed. The comment that was in the locker room a little bit, and because TP was having like a rough year. And, you know, I think he ended up breaking, you know, he had a good game to where, I mean, we had, I wanted to say a good game. I don't think we had 100 rushing yards, but.
TP's Tony Pollard.
Yeah. Okay. And it was one of them games to where they was kind of congratulating some guys in the locker room. And I'm like, what the f*** are we talking about? Like, we just got beat and we didn't have over 100 rushing yards, but we congratulating certain guys in the O-line. What do we do?
That was Jeffrey Simmons on Bussin' with the Boys. That interview released earlier this week. A really good listen. We played some clips yesterday, but Derek, you went back and listened to the interview. You had some more thoughts on what Jeffrey Simmons had to say as it relates to the Titans culture.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed by the way he was describing it that culture, they didn't even have one to start. And at no point did Brian Callahan was he able to establish a culture? And that was sort of the interesting part is, because he even talked about at the beginning of the season, meetings and guys sitting in young guys sitting in the back and the team not really having, it's like this, we know what to do with Vrabel, but we quite don't know what's really going on with Callahan. So it seemed, at least the second, it seemed like, again, the writing was on the wall. And if the writing's on the wall already, how do you expect the team to follow a man they know will no longer be here? It's just, it's a matter of time before he's gone. How do you then, you know, go all out for an individual like that? Or how do you then buy into what he's saying, because he's basically the hat without any power. That's what he is, because he's a lame duck coach, and he's going to be gone. It may be at the end of the season, but he's going to be gone. So that was interesting to me for them to that quickly know, at least from a player standpoint, that he's not the dude. And it almost sounded like they knew that when he first got hired and he walked into the meeting room the first year. And I'm thinking, like, man, they had to go. Like, there was never a time where they didn't all just buy into what he was preaching. It doesn't seem like they ever did, because he was totally the opposite of Vrabel. And they needed that team for whatever reason, they needed a Vrabel-type coach moving forward. And they didn't get that in Callahan. They got their best friend, a guy that wanted it to be, from how they explained it, a guy that would rather be your friend than to coach you hard. And I'm not saying that Cali didn't coach them hard, but that's the vibe that I'm getting. Like, he wanted to make sure everybody was okay.
And to your point, that's why the Titans apparently hired Diet Vrabel, as I called him yesterday. Vrabel zero sugar. I don't know. Because Robert Saleh and Mike Vrabel are not the same coach. But as I said yesterday, they are of a similar genre. They have a presence about them. They look like football players. They look like the type of dudes who like getting down and dirty. We know that Mike Vrabel, he liked to line up at practice and all that stuff, right? I don't know if Robert Saleh also does that. I guess we'll find out together. But the key question is, Derek, can Robert Saleh be the guy who does the things that Jeffrey Simmons said was missing in that clip and others with Brian Callahan?
if the Robert Sala that coached the San Francisco 49ers show up, then yeah. But if the Robert Sala that showed up in New York without the personality, his personality, him trying to be somebody else or something contrary to who he is by nature, then it's not going to work. Because, again, the guys see through it, man. They see through it. So the best thing he can do is just walk in there and be himself. And it's, if himself is getting on guys, holding guys accountable, that's what it's about. Is you got a bunch of guys that feel that and I know people, it may sound crazy because they're not children. Children want structure. They want it. As much as they fight it, they want it. I know some people are thinking, well, grown men, they should know what structure look like. They should hold themselves accountable. But a lot of times, you want to know what? It ain't that way. You got to hold grown folks accountable too, you know, to doing their job. Because if you don't, slowly but surely, they will allow things to start to slide, or they will give a pass for a certain thing. From what I'm gathering, Vrabel didn't do that. Vrabel wasn't a you know what every time. He even Jeffrey even said, like, listen, there were times where we had fun, we did this, but the minute he thought that y'all were getting too full of yourselves, he reined it back in. You're able to do that. You can't walk around being a nice guy. So if Salah's able to come in and be himself, the guy that we saw get into a confrontation with Liam Cohen.
Yes.
If that guy shows up and coaches the Titans, I feel good.
I gotta find exactly what Robert Sala told Liam Cohen. By the way, you get that matchup twice every year now in the AFC South. So if I recall correctly, Sala before the game against the Jaguars, like, subtly accused Liam Cohen of signal stealing. I think that's what happened. Mm-hmm. But they met on the field at the end of the game. I'm going to read you the clean transcript. And keep in mind, picture Liam Cohen in your mind. You know, Duvall, that guy. And then picture Robert Sala in your mind. And keep that in mind as I tell you what they said. Liam Cohen apparently said, "Keep my name out of your mouth. Keep my name out of your effing mouth." Tough guy talk.
You know why?
Why?
I just know. No wonder. He's from Detroit. No wonder he has the personality.
Sala?
You know what? Yeah.
Yes.
You know what?
Dearborn, Michigan.
You know what? This is the right hire, and I'm biased.
You didn't know that?
From the state of no, I didn't. I didn't. I didn't even think about it. I knew he went to what, Northern Michigan or something like that. And he was right around the same time I was. I think right after I graduated, he went to Northern Michigan. I believe it was Northern Michigan. Yes. But man, I didn't. Outside of that, I didn't think that he was from the state of Michigan. But
well,
yeah, he is. Dearborn, man.
So Liam Cohen, keep my name out of your mouth.
All right, that's
keep
right.
Keep my name out of your effing mouth. That was Liam Cohen to Robert Sala, and that's big tough guy talk. Listen to what Robert Sala said in response. "I'll F your world up. You don't want to F with me. I will effing end your effing life." End quote.
Hey, I like Sala.
That sounds really nice.
And he a Michigan State guy too. I like Sala. He didn't go to Michigan State, but he coached at Michigan State. I like Sala.
And one look at Robert Sala. One look at Robert Sala. And as Mo says on our text line, Sala would manhandle Liam Cohen. That's my point. One look at Robert Sala, and he may be able to effing end your effing life. So we'll see that matchup twice a year now in the AFC South. Randy on our text line says, "I wish Taylor Lewan had thought to ask Jeffrey this question. What would Vrabel had done if he was the coach when Jeff had his episode during Callahan's first year?" I assume the fight in practice.
Jeff would have got kicked out of practice.
And what was his thought when Callahan did nothing?
He'd have got kicked out of practice. And see, that's the thing. That's the sort of – when that happened, and we talked about it a lot that day. When that happened, and then the next following year, the whole thing with Buck
yes,
happened. And it was almost dismissed by the head coach. After it happened the first time, the fight, you should have kicked him out of practice. I'm like, again, it's not about, you know, Jeff being a bad guy or anything. It's just about setting a precedent, because in the game, if you fight, you get thrown out. There's no, oh, you're Jeffrey Simmons, we're not going to throw you out. The minute you throw a punch, you get thrown out, and you can't say anything about it. Practice is the same way. Jeff Fisher was that way. Harbaugh was that way. Billick was that way. When you fight, you're out. So when he didn't throw Jeffrey out, I knew it. He didn't have a backbone to do it. He did, and Jeff knew it. And everybody else around him knew it. He wasn't the guy for the job. And hopefully not. Salas seems to me, you fight in practice, you're gone. It doesn't mean I don't like you. It doesn't mean I don't think you're a great player. But we have rules in this game. This game is a lot of it is being disciplined in what you do. And if you can't be disciplined in practice, how do I expect you to be disciplined in the game? So I got to kick you out, Jeffrey. I know you're a 2-3-time All-Pro. I got to kick you out. I think if it happens now, you kick Jeffrey out. But I don't think Jeff will allow that to happen because he wouldn't get into a fight.
You can tell in the clips we've played that Jeffrey Simmons already has a lot of respect for Robert Saleh.
Absolutely.
We played a clip earlier in the show that at the end of the game between the Niners and the Titans late in the regular season, as they were dapping it up, Simmons said to Saleh, so you're going to come to Tennessee next year? So Simmons wanted Saleh to be the next head coach.
All
so,
defensive players want a defensive head coach.
Well, of course. But what I'm saying is,
no, I get you.
There's already that built-in respect.
Yes.
I can't say this for sure, but I would assume that Jeffrey Simmons isn't going to F around and find out.
No, I don't think he's going to F around and find out. Because, again, one thing that I do know is when you have a new head coach, your leaders have to buy in quickly because if your leaders buy in, everybody else is going to follow. If your leaders are hesitant, what do you think everybody else is going to do? They're going to be hesitant. In a minute, guys didn't see Jeffrey get thrown out of practice. They were like, okay, we can do things like this, okay? You can't do it this go around. I'm assuming you can't do it this go around because he has to set a standard. And whether you are the first or the 52nd guy on the roster, or 51st, how many ever guys on this on rosters now, you're going to be treated the same in regards to the rules of the game. When we're on the field, you fight in practice, you get thrown out. I don't care who you are. You could be the starting quarterback. You start fighting, you get thrown out. Because you start fighting in a game, I can't save you.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Robert Saleh, who is now officially the Tennessee Titans head coach. It was announced around 2:30 p.m. today that Robert Saleh's hiring has been made official by the team. He will hold his first news conference as Titans head coach next Wednesday, January 28th. At 2 p.m. here in Nashville. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction and wrap up the show. Coming up next, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Predators pregame with Max Herz coming up at the top of the hour. Predators versus Senators tonight at 7 o'clock. Roman Josi expected to play in his 1,000th NHL game.
Yes.
Becoming the 84th player in NHL history to play 1,000 games with a single franchise. An incredible accomplishment. So congratulations to Roman Josi. The plan is to honor him officially on Saturday. Who the hell knows what's going to happen with that game, though, with all of this weather.
Exactly.
God, I hate snow so much. I just hate it. I know you said yesterday you broke up with snow a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was never together with snow. I kept snow at arm's length.
I embraced snow for a good while, but then I realized, you know, the grass is green on the other side. So I said, nope, I'm done with you.
I prefer my grass green and not covered in snow.
Absolutely.
And frost and ice and who the hell knows what's going to happen this weekend. Be safe and make sure that you're all prepared for whatever the hell this weekend
has. Some chili or some stew this weekend.
My wife's making chili tonight.
Are you? I thought about making chili tonight, too.
Well,
oh, there we go.
Great minds think alike.
Absolutely.
That's what they say. So Robert Saleh officially announced as the Titans next head coach. We've known this for like 3 days, but it's now official. The Tennessee Titans have recognized the fact that Robert Saleh is their next head coach. He will be introduced to the media next Wednesday afternoon. Some staff changes were also reported today. Offensive coordinator Nick Holtz, defensive coordinator Denard Wilson are out, but special teams coordinator John Bones Fossil is expected to remain on the staff. No surprises there. Denard Wilson made the best out of a terrible situation. It was a skeleton crew out there by the end of the regular season. So many players injured, out of the lineup. So Denard Wilson, I'm sure he's going to land on his feet. I know he's interviewed for other jobs. Nick Holtz, quite frankly, I don't really know what he did, especially after Brian Callahan gave up play calling duties and gave them to the quarterback's coach, Bo Hardigree. So a non-play calling offensive coordinator. You know I'm not a huge fan of those, which I guess is good. Why it's good that they didn't hire Matt Nagy, because Matt Nagy technically is a non-play calling offensive coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs. I am curious to see where Nagy ends up, though, after all of you, and, you know, me a little bit, assumed that Matt Nagy was going to be the head coach here. I do wonder where he could end up. I saw he interviewed, I want to say, in Philadelphia the other day. I'm sure he's going to end up with it. Yeah. I know he's going to end up with the job. I'm just wondering where.
Yes, yet to be seen where he ultimately ends up. But, you know, going back to this, Denard Wilson, like you said, I think Denard will find him another job quickly, because I think he did the best job he could under the circumstances, meaning the roster. And as they went on, it just got more and more depleted because of injuries. But I think he still had the defense prepared each and every week. It was just – he got to a point where, you know, they just couldn't hold up anymore. The one that I'm interested in, if they keep or not, it would have been crazy for them to get rid of Bones Fossil. I mean, that would have been one of the most that would have been head-scratcher had they done that. But what do they do with Bo Hardigree? Because you can contribute if you don't want to contribute it to McCoy. You can contribute, you know, Cam's second half success to Bo Hardigree, and whatever was being taught to him, and how he developed within the system that they were running, because he looked like a different quarterback the second half of the season than he did the first half. And, you know, I'm going to attribute it to, you know, the relationship he and Bo Hardigree had. So that's another one. I wonder if they're going to keep Bo Hardigree.
I've wondered about
as the quarterback's coach.
Yeah, I've wondered about Hardigree as well. I guess that will be left up to the offensive coordinator, and that's the biggest remaining question. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network reported earlier today that the Titans continue to work through OC options, and he named Cliff Kingsbury, Arthur Smith, Brian Daboll, Adam Stenovich, and Bobby Slowick among the potential options. So who knows if it will be from that pool, but those are five names with varying degrees of experience, both as head coaches and offensive coordinators. We'll see what happens there. The five finalists, Derek,
yes,
for the MVP in the NFL: Christian McCaffrey, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, Drake May, and Matthew Stafford. Thoughts?
I think Matthew Stafford, if you look at the numbers, frankly, if you look at, you know, how he's carried that team, they've had injuries across the board, offensively, defensively. There was questions about whether Matthew Stafford would be able to hold up the whole season because of the back situation, and he did nothing. He's done nothing but, you know, be Superman for his team, one of the toughest quarterbacks out there, and he's played at an MVP level, it seems like, the whole season. Without him, I'm not sure where the Rams would be, truly, because he's been that consistent guy underneath center, and he's done a hell of a job running that offense.
Are you surprised that Jeffrey Simmons is not a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Will Anderson, Nick Bonito, Miles Garrett, Aiden Hutchinson, Micah Parsons.
That's a slap. That's disrespectful to Jeffrey. I mean,
he had a fabulous season.
There's no, outside of just the Titans not having a good season, there's no way in hell Jeffrey's name shouldn't at least be on the finalist. He was the most dominating interior guy in the National Football League.
Yes.
By far the most dominating guy. And for him to be on the All-Pro team but not be in a finalist for the Defensive Player of the Year, come on. That's just that's bad.
Coach of the Year, Liam Cohen, mm-hmm. Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Vrabel.
McCoy's not on there?
No. Mike McCoy was ineligible. I don't know.
That's
if
a
interim,
surprise. I thought he would be first ballot.
I don't know if interim coaches are eligible exactly. for Coach of the Year awards.
Yes, they are. I forget what coach almost won.
I say that tongue-in-cheek,
gosh,
of course.
Yeah. I forget what coach. It was some years ago. Say the coaches again.
Liam Cohen, uh-huh. Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Vrabel.
Oh, man. I think it's going to be a tough choice. I would tend to pick probably Liam Cohen first, Vrabel second. Mm.
But it's a tough choice.
Yeah, it's a tough choice. Even Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
But I think what's going to happen is Vrabel may end up winning it. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's done a hell of a job.
I think we'll talk about Mike Vrabel tomorrow. Yeah. Should we talk about Mike Vrabel tomorrow?
I think we should. I think he's done a hell of a job in New England. And he's well deserving of not only winning, but definitely being a nominee. But he's well deserving on winning Coach of the Year this year, if indeed he does win.
Comeback Player of the Year: Trevor Lawrence, Christian McCaffrey, Stephon Diggs, Aiden Hutchinson, Dak Prescott.
Man, that's I would lean toward. Dak was hurt last year, didn't he? Did he get hurt? What part of the season? He missed the last?
Let's take a look. Dak Prescott.
6 games of the season?
He played 8 games last season.
So he missed half the season.
Yes.
And who else? There was somebody else on there that I.
Trevor Lawrence, Christian McCaffrey, Stephon Diggs, Aiden Hutchinson, Dak Prescott.
Gosh. I'm picking Dak. I could throw Trevor in there. They had a hell of a season.
It's about whether you value, hey, someone got hurt,
exactly.
dealt with a serious injury, and bounced back, mm-hmm. or someone had a really down season in general and completely turned things around.
I think it, to me, is more so the
– or you could be hurt. Joe Flacco, yeah, who played Joe like Flacco, 3 games three off games. The couch yeah, and won comeback player
yeah,
of the year.
I love Joe, but he didn't. He shouldn't have won that. But, you know, if you're talking about Aiden Hutchinson may end up winning it. Mm-hmm. Because Aiden missed the whole season, didn't he, last year?
That's a good question.
Or majority of the season, not this past season, but the season before that, with that knee injury. And they didn't know.
He played 5 games last season.
It may end up being Hutch that wins it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see the other awards.
And I hate saying that about a Michigan guy, but he's with the Lions. So okay.
Offensive player of the year. Puka Nacua, Bijan Robinson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Drake May, and Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, whew, man, that's a good one. They all meant a lot to their team. Puka may end up winning it.
And this will come as a shock to absolutely no one, but Cam Ward is not in the running for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Jackson Dart, Emeka Egbuka, Travion Henderson, Tet McMillan, Tyler Shuck.
And that's again, why Cam played all but
he started
three
all
quarters.
17 games, yep.
And the second half of the season, I think he was playing better than Jackson Dart, much better than Jackson Dart. Again, this is disrespectful. I'm not saying he should have won, he should win. I don't think he should win. But to put Jackson Dart, again, I don't understand this. I don't get it, man. But Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think, will end up winning.
Well, he'll be the offensive player of the year. He's not a rookie.
Not the rookie, yeah. The rookie, wide receiver. You said
Egbuka.
Yeah, Egbuka, yes.
From Tampa Bay. Well, that'll do it for us today. The Predators are back in action tonight at 7 o'clock against the Ottawa Senators. Max High Maintenance Hers has pregame coverage for you coming up. In 5 minutes, a special night in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena. Roman Josi expected to play in game number 1,000. As someone who had the privilege to cover Roman Josi for more than 7 years, I'm very happy for him. He's a wonderful person. He's a great hockey player. So, Predators fans, make sure you give Roman Josi a rousing ovation when he takes the ice tonight. He deserves it. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Thursday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music, don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. See you tomorrow, 3 p.m. from the studio on 102.5 The Game. Peace.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.